Hello and welcome to the Tuesday, August 27th, 2013 edition of the Sands and its Storm Centers Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm the recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Let's start out with our diary today. Tom Webb wrote another guest diary, and in this diary he's giving us a quick recipe about how to recover files from USB sticks. Of course, this could be used in a forensic investigation if you're trying to figure out what was deleted from this USB stick, or as Tom used it here, to recover files from an unmountable USB stick. Of course, if a USB stick is broken, it may be not readable at all. In Tom's case, it was just somewhat corrupted. So, for example, the partition table was no longer readable. So, what he did was just dump the entire stick into a file and then use the forensics tool Foremost to extract files from that disk image. Pretty neat technique, and from my experience works pretty well. Actually, also with network traffic, you can play similar tricks using Foremost. But let's see what we have in other news. And Arbor is reporting about a new version of Dirt Jumper. Dirt Jumper is a pretty well-known denial of service kit. You can buy it for $150 and use it to launch denial of service attacks against various websites. In the past, it wasn't really all that difficult to defend against those attacks. Never a couple common tricks that people used, for example, setting cookies and then figuring out if someone comes back without the cookie. But in this new version of Dirt Jumper will actually parse out these set cookie headers, for example, also redirect or location headers, and then use them in its response. So it will be harder to figure out if a request originated from a denial of service kit or from a real browser. Whenever you are under a denial of service attack, the real trick is to figure out what differentiates the attack traffic from real traffic, and then of course filter the attack traffic as far upstream as you can. But as these tools are better and better in emulating real traffic, that of course gets not just more difficult, but also more expensive. And if you try to get to any Chinese website late Saturday or early Sunday Eastern time and didn't get there, turns out that the Chinese domain name infrastructure for .cn was under a massive denial of service attack that lasted a couple of hours and apparently did degrade the traffic by about 30% or so, according to some measurements. It did go somewhat unnoticed here in the US because, first of all, it was really in the US Saturday to a Sunday night, which is a low traffic time. And then, of course, it only affected .cn domains. Many of the very popular domains, of course, may have used large enough TTLs on their DNS records, so the outage went unnoticed. But it is somewhat concerning that an attacker is able to actually cause an outage of a top-level domain like .cn, because it's certainly not the smallest top-level domain out there. And at the Usenix security conference, a new attack was demonstrated that could lead to denial of service against a cell phone, particular GSM systems. The attack does require a hacked cell phone with a special firmware, but overall the attack is really not all that complex. Whenever a cell phone tower attempts to send a message to a cell phone, it first has to figure out if the cell phone is in reach, and it does that via a broadcast message that all phones receive, and then whatever phone responds first is the one that's going to get the message. So it's a little bit like ARP, I guess, in Ethernet networks. It's not authenticated. All the authentication that GSM offers and encryption happens in a second step. So the attack is pretty simple in that terms. It's sort of like an ARP denial of service attack, where for every ping that you receive that looks for a phone, you just respond yourself, and then the second ping from the real phone will be ignored. However, you have to respond fast enough, so realistically, one phone alone may not be able to send all these responses for one cell phone tower. However, the researchers who worked on this have demonstrated that about 10 phones are enough to saturate the tower and essentially reply with responses before real phones reply. Now, the next step to actually then play man in the middle and get access to the content of the messages, that's a bit harder and typically not possible, as GSM in most cases is encrypted, and after the initial setup with the ping request and the response, then the encryption is initiated, and usually the attacker wouldn't be able to break that. Well, and that's it for today. So thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.